The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Thank God it's... Thank God it's...
Say that again. 10:06. 6 minutes past the hour of 10 a.m. on this gorgeous Friday. I'm Dominic Carter in for the legend Geraldo Rivera today. And I have to tell you, it's like a kid in a candy store for me to fill in for Geraldo. A television newsman filling in for a legend like Geraldo. 6 minutes after 10, I grew up on the tradition of Geraldo Rivera and Channel 7 Eyewitness News with the likes of Bill Butel, Roger Grimsby, legends. And to sit here this morning in the chair of Geraldo Rivera, it doesn't get much better for me. Friends, we have a lot to get to over the next 2 hours here on WABC Radio. Donald Trump continues to prove the media wrong. His message is resonating. A new survey out in the New York Times today shows Americans, surprise, surprise, have a negative view of race relations. Bill Cosby, what is left to say about him except that he should just go away and never be heard from again? This morning, part two, Geraldo talks about how rap music is not good for our urban communities. I'll go a step further, Geraldo. Rap is destroying urban America. I discussed this last time I filled in for Geraldo. Today, we'll have part two. Wait until you hear the lyrics of some of those songs that I will cite to you in just a second. But of course, the top story of the day happens to be out of Lafayette, Louisiana, and that is another shooting. 9 shot, I believe, 3 dead, including the gunman. Noam is back with us for the very latest. What can you tell us?
Well, we can tell you some more information that we didn't have this morning. We know who this guy is. 59-year-old John Russell Hauser. 20 minutes into this movie, the train wreck movie, this Amy Schumer movie, which, by the way, had this huge amount of buzz going into its second weekend, so they were expecting huge box office. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
That's
on that
train
level.
Wreck? Is that the
train
movie?
Wreck? Yeah, okay. Yeah, the Amy Schumer movie. So 20 minutes into the movie, he stands up and he just starts firing away. There's no known motive for it. All in all, 11 people were hit by the gunfire. 3 are dead, including Mr. Hauser. We don't know what his motive is. Even when we do, will it make a difference anyway in terms of how we sort of sort it all out? We do know that he was a drifter, had lived in Alabama before he moved to the Lafayette area just a couple months ago. And again, no motive, but they're casing his hotel room that he was staying in, or not casing, I said, they're checking it out. And they found some disguises, so it was clear that he was probably planning to get away. There was wigs, eyeglasses back in his hotel room. There was a car parked right outside the entrance of the movie theater. So the police think he thought he was going to get away. But when the police showed up very quickly, they were there within a minute or two of the gunfire. He obviously decided that he wasn't going to get away and went back into the theater and shot himself.
Noam, we're not even over Colorado yet.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's to the point where you have to worry every time you go to take your family to the movies these days.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine you go in, like I said, this is going to be this hit movie, a comedy, no less. It's a Thursday night. You're feeling good. It's Friday the next day. It's 7:30 in the evening, and this guy stands up and just starts firing at him. So, you know, lots of questions. So they start putting, you know, metal detectors in movie theaters. I don't think anybody wants to go that far, but when you see the second shooting, right, and you're right, the Colorado gunfire, the trial just ended.
Literally.
Yeah, so...
I mean, what's next? I mean, I know we can discuss the mental health component. Those that want to see more stricter rules on guns will come up again. But, I mean, I just don't have the answer. I mean, it's just horrible. And if I had my way, we wouldn't know anything about the shooter. That's part of the problem. That these guys want to go down with their names and headlines. It's just horrible. It's just horrible.
Yeah, and you ask a good question. We don't know where to go. We'll keep reporting these stories, and unfortunately, I'll have plenty more as long as I'm here on the airways of WABC. It seems like every couple months we get one of these horrendous shootings where lots of people go down, innocent people just out for a good time, and somebody stands up and shoots at them. And the question a lot of people are asking is, why does it continue to happen here in the United States of America, but you don't see it at this drastic and violent level anywhere else in the world?
Great point. You don't see it around the world. It happens in this country a lot, but not around the world.
No.
Well, thank you very much. We look forward to the latest headlines coming up at the bottom of the hour and then again at the top of the hour. I'm Dominic Carter, and today for Geraldo Rivera, the legend. And this first hour, we are going to talk about something that's really on my mind today. And the number is 1-866-Geraldo. 1-866-Geraldo. 1-866-437-2536. This morning, I don't like talking about race a lot. It is not my, as an African American, it is not my top issue. I don't go around talking about slavery all the time or race relations or complaining. I believe those are crutches and that African Americans have to move past that, and it's scapegoating the real problems that's going on in our communities in America. New poll from the new survey from the New York Times, CBS, shows that as I'm going into this rap hip-hop topic, whatever you want to call it. This is part two. I discussed this the last time I filled in for Geraldo, and there are other points that I want to make. Americans have a negative view of the state of race relations in the U.S., according to the New York Times. Nearly 6 in 10 Americans say race relations are bad. Again, the source of this survey is a CBS News New York Times poll. Among those surveyed, blacks are more likely than whites to hold this view. Most think that there has been progress in getting rid of racial discrimination. Many Americans say they personally know people who are prejudiced. The poll findings, let's talk about the president, suggest that President Obama's presidency has not unified whites and blacks. Just 15% of Americans say his presidency has brought these groups closer together. 47% think the president has made no difference at all. 34% believe that his presidency has pushed whites and blacks further apart. So this morning, as I move into rap music, I guess I want to sound like I'm hip or whatever, so I should call it hip-hop. Understand where I'm coming from this morning, folks. Yes, we're talking about the permanent underclass, if you will. Things that are on my mind as of late. Just the other day, African-American activists interrupted Bernie Sanders, presidential candidate in Phoenix. But I say to those same activists that were complaining about rights for African Americans, why aren't you out there protesting rap music? Why aren't you protesting hip-hop music? Am I the only black man in America that's incensed at some of the lyrics that exist today in rap music? Am I the only one? Sometimes I feel that way, friends. Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, years ago, was wrongly called a racist when he called out most of the problems that exist today in the black community. Senator Moynihan called it out accurately years ago, and he was demonized as a racist. Look at Chicago. Look at the crime in Chicago. Look at the black-on-black crime in Chicago. Children are dying, it seems like, at least every other week. Look at Baltimore. Baltimore, Maryland makes me want to cry. It makes me want to cry. And friends, I want to be upfront with this, and I'm not going to please some African-Americans by saying this, but please don't dare tell me, oh, Dominic, the racism, the white man. No. No. At what point do you accept personal responsibility for what's going on in your community? Look at some of the headlines over the last couple of days. In Parkchester, I grew up in the Bronx. A 21-year-old man was shot and killed while holding his baby daughter. Holding his baby daughter. This apparently happened outside 1531 Taylor Avenue. Holding his daughter, and he died. The situation has become so bad in urban America that society has almost become immune to what's going on. Immune. People are just killing each other. What's the common denominator in all of this? Rap music, hip hop. I'm not broad brushing all of rap and all of hip hop music, but some of it. Look at the headline from the other day. An elderly woman in Brooklyn, raped by that animal in her Brooklyn house. 4.5 hours. Look at a video. Look at a video that was online for days, and it's received millions of hits. Now, you may say, Dominic, this is mental illness, and perhaps it is, but a disturbing video, and this is happening every other day, a disturbing video out of Memphis, Tennessee, shows an infant baby boy, an infant boy, that's repeatedly and violently thrown to the ground by his mother, who prayed, chanted, and asked another child to join in the abuse. The boy's father eventually called police, but he filmed the entire thing. Imagine a baby being thrown to the floor several times. This is what actually happened. Now, you may say, what does this have to do with rap music? Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with rap music. But at the end of the day, I am telling you, this culture is destroying urban America. It is destroying urban America. Let's start this morning with Jeff. Jeff is calling us from New Jersey. Good morning, Jeff.
Morning, Diamond. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Okay. I think one of the problems for especially the urban America is I'm white. I understand you're a black man. If you don't go along with the program, you are ostracized as being a sellout or an Uncle Tom, or you know Clarence Thomas was just accused of being a blackface clown.
Tell me about it, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. Tell me about it.
Yeah, and I think that's a big problem.
You know, it's well said on your part, and that's exactly what happens. Those of us that call out the problems that exist, and they're not going to, the problems are not going to get better until we stop sugarcoating this issue. It's as simple as that. And it's just horrible, Jeff. I mean, babies having babies, the family structure unit. Now, Dominic, how can you sit here on WABC and say all of this? Because I'm a product of that community. I'm a product of that type of household with no father. So I know firsthand what happens. But I'm telling you, Jeff, in this great country of ours, success is possible. But you have to want it.
Absolutely. I think another thing is, I'm not a Democrat. I'm kind of a conservative, but I thought historically the most significant aspect of of President Obama becoming president of the United States is that we could finally get to a point where the races could absolutely come together. I mean, he was a perfect foil for that, you know. And unfortunately, for some for many reasons, it's actually been the opposite.
Why do you believe that is? I've got to take a break, but you're on to a very important point, Jeff, and I want to continue with this. Why do you think it's played out that way as it relates to President Obama?
Well, I think there's many different reasons. One was that I think the black community assumed we have a black president now, so everything's going to be healed overnight, which is never the case. It's always baby steps. Another thing was that I think, and I don't mean to sound condescending in any way whatsoever, but I think the president probably expressed certain views that a president shouldn't express. You know, case in point, you know, if I had a son, he would look like Trayvon Martin. That's something that I strongly believe he shouldn't have interceded in that case, you know, until after the fact. You know, if he said, okay, you know what I'm saying? He kind of picks and chooses where he's going to make commentary on local or racial issues. I think as president, he should probably have distanced himself from that. I think he would have shown a lot more leadership in that aspect.
Thank you very much for the call, Jeff. Rap is destroying urban America. Time for transit and traffic on WABC. 1027, I'm Dominic Carter. In today for the legend Geraldo Rivera, we are talking about a New York Times poll survey out this morning that shows when it comes to race relations, 6 in 10 Americans say race relations are bad. 6 in 10. The poll findings suggest Obama's presidency has not united the country. 15% say his presidency has brought these groups closer together. 47% think his presidency has made no difference. 34% believe it has pushed whites and blacks further apart. And I am continuing part two because I am offended, greatly offended, at what's going on in cities across America when it comes to rap music, hip-hop music, the impact on urban America, the subliminal messages that it's sending the kids. And I think I'm just as qualified, if not better qualified, than most to talk about this because I'm from that community and I understand. I understand what goes on in these communities. 1-866-Geraldo. 866-Geraldo. Good morning, Jim. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dominic, thanks for taking my call. I'm a big fan, man.
Thank you.
So listen, the thing that bothers me, maybe you can explain, is when they talk about race relations and racist actions and racist, it's always the white society that's the racist. Do you honestly believe that black society is not racist? I mean, all you have to do is have Noam Abrams pull up YouTube and put in world star hip-hop, and you'll see thousands and thousands of videos of marauding blacks beating up and degrading white people. Now, I'm a white male. I can tell you that white society, not the Ku Klux Klan and the Aryan Nation, they don't stand for us. We are the most sissiest, scared society. We run and hide when people call racist. We apologize.
Well, Jim, I do have to admit this much. You're discussing the way the white community is perceived.
Yeah.
And I do have to agree with you because I feel that part of the problems of black America are liberals that look the other way or liberals that pat people on the head in the projects and in urban America. The reality is it's not, in my opinion, about race. It's about how bad do you want to succeed on an individual level. This is what I explain to African Americans and Latinos all the time. And as far as I'm concerned, constantly complaining about whites, that's just a crutch.
Yes.
Look at your own life and what you're doing, Jim. That's my point.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I have an opinion on that, too, with the Democratic Party. It's sort of like a Machiavellian system that they run. It's where you give just enough to keep people satisfied. You don't want them to get too successful, because then they may move over to the Republican Party.
Jim, you hit it on the head. Thank you. News Headlines is next.
I have spent all of my life waiting for tonight.
Minutes past the hour of 10 this morning. Jennifer Lopez, happy birthday, J-Lo from the Bronx. It is Jennifer Lopez's birthday, an amazing talent to many. I'm included. We're from the same borough. Way to go, J-Lo. Happy birthday. New poll, new survey out today. Nearly 6 in 10 Americans believe race relations are bad in America. I'm Dominic Carter, in today for the legend Geraldo Rivera, 1-866-Geraldo. My point, rap music, hip-hop, not making anything better. Going to give you some lyrics right now. You tell me what you think. I'm outraged. I'm not going to take it anymore, and I don't believe you should either. The artist's name is Jeremiah. Up front, if a white person said this, they would be called a racist. But this is a song. It's played every 5 minutes on radio stations. New York, Los Angeles, urban areas, cities all across America. I can only thank God that my children are grown. So, you know, it doesn't hopefully influence this. I am not making this up. These are actual lyrics to the song Plains by Jeremiah. Quote, you need a N, they don't say the N word, they end it with an A. You need an N that's gone, you heard what I said, gone, come over and, quote, dig you out. This is what you can listen to on the radio each and every day. You need an N that you know is not gone run his mouth. You need an N when he's done, probably gonna put you out. You need an N that's going to put it in your mouth. A terminology for a male part of a body. Teaching our children in America. Radio and music influences our children more than we can ever begin to understand. I'm outraged. Paul in New York, what do you think?
Hey, how are you? I think you're great. I think you're beyond great. You're awesome. You're doing an excellent thing for all communities. As far as the rap music goes, you're 100% right. I used to listen to it my younger days and stuff. It's extremely influential, and listening to it, it can make most individuals extremely aggressive towards whatever they want to be. It's not the only music out there that does that, but it seems to be the most popular today, and that's where everybody's flocking to. I'm looking at the TV, and then we're going to make this new movie out, which is an N.W.A. movie. I don't know if you ever heard that album, Straight Outta Compton.
I haven't heard the album. However, I'm incensed at the promo for the movie, in which they say, "How do you go from selling rocks and something in the outhouse to going to the White House?" That's the promo for the movie.
I'm not sure what they're gonna. How they're going to do that, but the album itself is extremely brutal. There's nothing but extreme violence on it. And what it does is it influences people to have that same mentality, as well as all music does. All music has an influential base to it. But as far as what's out there today, and I believe that's what you're saying as far as seeing this in urban areas and stuff like that, people are being influenced just not to care. It's a careless mentality. There's no repercussions for anything, and anybody's going to do whatever they want to do.
Well said. Daniel in Long Island.
How you doing? Rap music and metal music, all that is terrible, you know, back in the day. Now the music it got even worse. Okay, another thing I was explaining, there was, like, when a police officer killed somebody, he will not be charged. He would just have a nice day, you know. But when a black on black crime, if they get caught, they get prosecuted automatically. When a cop does it, he's getting
Wait. Hold on, Daniel. I don't understand the point that you're making.
Okay. When a cop kills somebody, right? They think he goes home with his gun. Have a nice day. He goes on vacation. Like when he gets suspended, he'll have a day off, and they'll investigate him. Like that guy.
Right, but Daniel, police officers. I don't know of any police officer that goes to work on any daily basis and says, "Hey, I'm going to go kill somebody today." And I don't share your sentiment. Any officer that's in this type of situation where they had to use deadly force, it's not a walk in the park, and they're not just going home relaxing. It's a serious emotional toll that it takes.
No, I thought that lady that he asked her to put a cigarette out, and he blew that thing out of proportion. Well, explain that one.
I one more time, Daniel. I don't want to just move on. What I didn't hear your last point.
Okay, there was a lady that he told her to put the cigarette out, and he got real mad because she didn't follow his.
You're referring to the Bland case in Texas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what did you? What was
and
your
she's
question?
She's a female.
Right.
And we dragged her out, and he manhandled her. Why didn't he just sit there, wait for a policewoman to show up, and handle the case properly?
I can't second guess the actions of that officer. We've all seen the video.
There's a few like that. They just blow it out.
Okay, but let's go full circle. What does that have to do with rap music and destroying urban America?
Some of the rap music I cannot stand. But people buying that crap, you know, so they're selling it. It's like drugs. Even though drug is bad, people want it. I don't understand it myself. Some of that music. They should go after the producers that are making this some of this crazy music. What sound people want to buy it? You know what I'm saying?
Well, Daniel, thank you very much. Let's now go to Paul. I believe Paul is calling us from Long Island.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Paul.
This is a great topic. unfortunately, I think it goes above our president. It goes above our politicians. It goes above most of us. And it's as simple as just our entertainment, period. It's not just rap music. All of our entertainment today desensitizes us to everything. And so now for us to kind of get any kind of feeling or excitement, it's got to be even grander than the last thing that we've seen.
Paul?
And I live in the Bronx myself.
Paul,
I can see it all the time.
Let me say this to you, Paul. I was a little surprised at news I received this morning that came out of the White House. You mentioned the president, Paul. And so the president had some visitors at the White House in the East Room, I believe, yesterday. And a rapper that's referred to as Whale, I believe, performed at the White House. And the president said that he likes rap, but that he can't rap himself.
This is what I'm getting at, okay? So I think it's very interesting for me personally. I used to listen to Jay-Z like crazy in my younger years. If I were to listen to him now, it's really not my cup of tea. But why do we have a president that makes it a point when he comes to New York that one of the first things he does, he has to have a dinner with Jay-Z and Beyonce? You understand now? It goes to the entertainment. Although there's so much money in the entertainment, unfortunately, we're never going to get that stopped. And that's where our real issue is. It doesn't even matter what the president gets behind at this point, in my opinion. I'm not saying that that you're wrong, but I just have a strong feeling that our entertainment has so desensitized us that people are running out there now with no thought of consequence to what they do because this is what they entertain themselves with.
Well, thank you very much. Let's
thank
go
you.
To Wayne's, who's calling us from Staten Island this morning. Good morning. You're on WABC.
Good morning, Mr. Carter. How are you?
I'm great. Yourself.
I'm listening to you, and I kind of disagree with what you were saying. I mean, you're trying to blame the whole problem on hip-hop, and I don't think that's right. I mean, this is a very complex problem, you know, because we've had gangs killing each other for a long time in America. The Irish were killing each other. The Irish gang were killing each other. The Italian gang were killing each other. And, I mean,
Wayne's, have you seen the communities of color in Staten Island?
Yes, I have.
You have? And are you okay with that?
No, I'm not. But, I mean, for you to say it's caused by rock music, I think that's making a very complex situation. You're just applying a very simple solution to a very complex situation.
Well, because, No. That's not the only part of the solution as far as I'm concerned. And I hear what you're saying, but my point is this. If you want to have a better life, you have anyone, but particularly people of color in urban areas. You have to stop whining. You have to stop complaining about racism. You have to get up.
I agree with you totally over there.
You have to get up every day like normal people do and go look for a job. And in my world, it's simple. No work, no eat. And that's a message. I don't know. To be honest with you, I really feel that the welfare system, and I grew up on public assistance, has handicapped people of color. And I don't mean the broad brush, but where people are sitting around waiting for a welfare check instead of getting up and going to look for a job.
Okay. I agree with you over there, but you know what? I'm not talking about the welfare. I'm talking about, you know what, interjecting hip-hop into that is what's causing the black-on-black crime. I mean, gangsters are gangsters. Gangsters have always been like this. The Russian gangsters are like that. The Italian gangsters were like that. The Irish gangsters were like that. I mean, are we going to say because they were listening to Frank Sinatra? Are we going to say because they were listening to some Irish rap music? I mean, hip-hop has got nothing to do with the crime that's going on.
One more time. The lyrics of Jeremiah Plains. I'm sure you've heard this song today.
I'm quoting directly.
Whether you or I are old men or not is irrelevant to the conversation because the children are listening to it. I'm quoting. They don't even say the N-word fully anymore. They don't even say the N-word. They abbreviate the N-word. How do you abbreviate something that's extremely offensive to people? You need an N that's going to put it. Wait, let me just finish. Let me just finish and you can have your say. You need an N. Now, that's not destructive to black people.
Yeah, I mean, all I'm trying to say here is, you know, we cannot blame hip-hop for what is going on in the black community. I mean, for blaming hip-hop, it's like you blaming Frank Sinatra for what was going on in the Italian community. That's what I'm saying. You know, you can't do that.
Okay, well, thank you for the call. I'm fed up with some of this rap music. I'm not going to take it anymore. I feel that all of us should have the same attitude. Time for a break here on WABC. I'm Dominic Carter, and today for Geraldo, who's off having a family day, and we hope he enjoys it. Geraldo's one of the hardest working men like James Brown used to be when he was alive in the business. I gave you some lyrics a little while ago from one rapper. The topic that we are concluding, rap music and how it's destroying urban America. I'll give you another song here. This is entertainer J. Cole, and this song is titled Wet Dream. I'll just give you a little taste of it here. I'm thinking, now it's not spelled out the way you would actually spell the word, so I guess this is Ebonics at its best. But I'm thinking how she ride on it. That's one of the lyrics. Tony in White Plains, help me out here. Help me understand this.
Yeah, Dominic, I agree with you about the rap music, but I relate. I don't know if you remember when Dinkins was mayor, you had 13, 14, 15-year-olds having babies. And a lot of them were crack babies and all of that. You remember all of that?
I sure do.
Okay, well, a lot of those kids are grown up now, and that's part of what you're listening to, what we're going through right now.
So, Tony, we're going to deal with ignorance on top of ignorance. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I mean, that's what we seem to be doing. I mean, I relate to Obama being president almost back to like when Dinkins was mayor. I mean, the same type of stuff is going on right now.
Well said. Well said. It is horrendous. We haven't talked about him yet, Donald Trump, so you know that's the topic right after the break.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
All right, friends, that's me on this Friday, a lovely Friday. Aren't you enjoying it? I'm Dominic Carter, in for the legend, the man, Geraldo Rivera. Again, I grew up watching Geraldo on television. This great country that we live in, and we're moving to Donald Trump. But 1-866-Geraldo on Donald Trump now. 1-866-437-2536. We live in a great country. Only in this country could a poor black kid, myself, in the Bronx, watching Channel 7 News growing up with legends like Geraldo Rivera, grow up to become a young man through the generosity of the taxpayers of the great state of New York. I'm able to get into a college program at the State University of New York College at Cortland. That's where it's upstate, about 3 hours from here, about 40 miles north of Binghamton, 30 miles south of Syracuse. Cortland, New York is famous now. That's where the New York Jets train. They will be there, the football team, next month. Go to Cortland, able to obtain a bachelor's degree. At the college was when I got the confidence that I could, that if I worked hard, if I didn't complain and whine, that if I worked hard, I could make it. And it was at that college that I was able to graduate in 3 years with my bachelor's degree. And watching Geraldo on television gave me hope that success was possible for somebody that looked like me. And you never know in life. I had no idea that I would go on from that point to do exactly what Geraldo did in terms of working in television, going on to moderate a debate with Hillary Clinton, a debate with Mayor Bloomberg, interviewing Nelson Mandela, coming out of the public school system of New York. Never had a father involved in my life, raised by my grandmother, but all of that's possible. And it's possible because of people like Geraldo, the man that you listen to on this program Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, 5 days a week. Geraldo opened doors for many of us and taught us that success was possible. I hope Geraldo was enjoying his day off with his family, spending time with his daughter. Donald Trump. Donald Trump. Donald Trump. Boy, is Donald Trump proving the media wrong. Donald Trump is showing that his message is resonating with Americans. Donald Trump has tapped into an anti-establishment, and he's connecting in ways that few politicians ever can. Standing off to my side, I see here is my man Ron Kuby. It's because of Ron Kuby that I'm here at WABC. Ron Kuby helped open some doors, so thank you, Ron. Ron and Curtis Lee were there coming up at the top of the hour at noon. We are discussing Donald Trump. Yesterday, Trump in Laredo, Texas, predominantly, overwhelmingly, Latino community. This was Trump in Laredo.
Feel that what you said that the people across the border are rapists and murderers.
No. We're talking about illegal immigration, and everybody understands it. And you know what? That's a typical case. Wait. That's a typical case of the press with misinterpretation. They take a half a sentence. They take a half a sentence, then they take a quarter of a sentence. They put it all together. It's a typical thing. And you're with Telemundo, and Telemundo should be ashamed. And I'll tell you something, what's really going to be fun? I'm right now suing Univision for $500 million, and I want to tell you, we're going to win a lot of money because of what they do.
Donald Trump doing something good, putting the press, putting the media in their place. Folks, I'm a television journalist. Let me tell you how this goes. I've been in this game as a political reporter, first at New York One for 17 years, now at RNN Television, Fios News. Television reporters, unfortunately, we love to be in the headlines as well. So now what you're looking at with Trump, every television reporter worth their salt, and Geraldo can tell you this, they're going to try and get into a confrontation with Donald Trump. Because if they are successful with doing that, it escalates their name into the national headline. You go from covering the story to becoming part of the story. That interaction we just listened to is why Trump is doing so well. Don't sleep on this guy. Don't sleep on him. I've known Trump for many, many years, professionally and personally. Not as well as Geraldo, but I have a relationship with him. And what I'm amazed by, some folks are saying, you know, oh, well, he can't get the Latino vote. Well, he can't get the black vote. Let me tell you, and I hope Trump doesn't get angry at me for divulging this. We've had several private conversations throughout the years. And one of the conversations that we had before any of this, running for president and so on, Trump would tell me he's not just making this up. He does do well in the black community. He does do well in the Latino community. Trump, in one of our private calls a few years ago, actually had the poll numbers from one of his surveys specifically about what his numbers were in communities of color. So Donald Trump is not making this up. It's amazing. The media tried to make him out to be a total buffoon in this contest. And now it's all about him. He has completely taken all the oxygen in the room as it relates to this contest. Let's go to Judy. Judy is calling us from Brooklyn. Good morning, Judy. Judy, are you with us? Judy, are you with us? Judy's not with us. Okay, let's go to Matt. Matt, are you with us?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Good. How about yourself, Matt?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. So I just want to say with regard to Trump, you know, I'm a small business owner, and I appreciate him as a business owner, and I think that he's very savvy. But I got to tell you, as far as running for president, I think it's a fad.
Based on what?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, listen, he's a big media personality. He loves to see his name in headlines, and I don't fault him for that. And I really do think he's got good intentions to get to the White House, and I think he's got some good ideas. But I don't think the establishment is going to recognize him as a serious presidential candidate. That's a gut opinion. I could be totally off base with it.
How do you explain, Matt, that he's doing so well, and you're calling us from Connecticut this morning? How do you explain he's doing so well with the polls?
Well, I think that in the beginning, there's a honeymoon phase, like with all presidential candidates, and I think that he's in that phase right now for the next few months. But I think eventually he's going to start debating folks like, you know, Jeb Bush and Scott Walker and all these other guys. And I think he's going to be drowned out by the establishment.
Drowned out? Drowned out? Trump is going to be the star of the show. None of these guys. Matt, I want you to remember my prediction. I'm saying this based as a television reporter for 30 years.
Okay.
Trump's numbers are going to skyrocket after the first debate, which is now, I believe, 2 weeks away in Cleveland, Ohio. Look at the scenario. Kasich, the governor of the state of Ohio, he, based on polling, will not even be included in a debate that's in his home state. But yet Donald Trump, who just announced a few days ago, is actually leading the pack. It's just very interesting. We thank you for the call. Folks, I want you to listen to this in just a second. I want you to listen to Senator John McCain apologizing. But before we do that, he appeared on Fox last night on Bill O'Reilly. But before we do that, let me squeeze in one call here. Let's go to Judy. Good morning,
Hi.
Judy.
Hi, Dominic. I was saying hello, but somehow there must have been a disconnect. I had to pull over from driving because I was listening to you, and it's not the first time I'm listening to you. You're on Curtis and Kuby, you know, when you substitute for Kuby.
Yes.
And I have to tell you, I said this time around I'm calling up, I really have to give you a tremendous compliment, Dominic. You are such a breath of fresh air. There is such beautiful honesty out of you. Your logic is so wonderful. You're a role model, not just for African Americans. You're a role model for every human being out there. And I
Thank
honestly
you,
feel that maybe it should be Curtis and Carter, you know, for a show.
Well, thank you, Judy. But I do have to tell you this. Ron Kuby is a legend. He's one of the nicest people in this game. And Ron Kuby pushed hard for me to be here at WABC. Ron Kuby is a great man. He can do no wrong in my book.
You know something? In my book, yes, he could do a lot of wrong. I disagree with you, Carter. But you know something? I want to tell you something. I also agree with you with your whole analysis on Donald Trump. I think he's bold. I think he's brave. I think he gets things done. I think he's a great, loving American. I think he is deliberately misinterpreted and misquoted and edited and the whole shebang. I think they're just all afraid of him. And I said early on to one of the producers on the show, he knows, Marty, I spoke to Marty, I said, he resonates. That's exactly what you're saying. He definitely resonates with all of us. We're
Judy,
sick and tired of political correctness. We're sick and tired
yes.
of politicians that just talk, and just can't do anything.
Preach, Judy, preach.
Pardon?
I said preach. Preach,
yeah,
sister, preach.
Right, absolutely. Anyway, Carter, you go.
Thank you, Judy.
Terrific.
Judy, we appreciate the call here at WABC.
You need your own show. You're terrific.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Judy. That's appreciated. My philosophy, folks, on any given issue, my philosophy is real simple. Don't ever put me in a box. I will never discuss my personal party affiliation or my personal politics, because I feel that as a journalist, I have to try as much as possible if there's such a thing as being objective. But I will call an issue in every issue on a case-by-case basis. You're never going to get a point of me because that's the black point of view or the white point of view. I'm going to tell you exactly the way I see it. And I tell you now, it's time for traffic and transit on WABC.
One of the reasons that there was a controversy involving you and Trump was your remark about crazies who were supporting Trump. Do you regret making that remark? And if not, who are the crazies?
It was meant in jest. I view it as a term of endearment. And if anybody was offended, then certainly I'm sorry.
Look at that. Senator McCain apologizing for the comment that sparked all this. The back and forth between himself and Donald Trump, referring to, quote, bringing out the crazies. That's McCain's words on Trump's quick rise in the polls in this Republican contest. It's just amazing. I could have told you, as a matter of fact, I did tell people on day one, don't sleep on Donald Trump. You know why? Here's the bottom line, and no one should know that better than folks in the tri-state area that have seen enormous success on projects that Donald Trump has worked on with the city of New York. Sure, now we have this new mayor and de Blasio, and he's talking about not going forward with any future business, but perhaps if the city of New York ran as successful as Trump ran his companies, the city of New York would not be in as many problems as it's facing now. Don't sleep on Donald Trump. This guy is for real. I've known him for many, many years. I've interviewed him many times. And for the media to have the nerve to say that Latinos won't vote for him, it's just ridiculous. And to say that, you know, that he won't have black support, I'm telling you, I know for a fact this guy has enormous black and Latino support. Don't sleep on Trump. We are now in a situation with the presidential race. First, the pundits, the experts, my colleagues, folks that I know, told us that Trump was wasting his time. He was called a clown. He was called everything else. But what do they have to say now? What do you say now? He's at the top, near Jeb Bush or doing better than Jeb Bush and some polls. What do the experts have to say now? Yes, we are a long way away from actually voting. But I'm telling you, don't sleep on this guy. And Trump has also announced that if Republicans don't play nice with him, that he may actually consider a third-party run. And we know what that would mean. New Jersey, and Andrew. Good afternoon, Andrew.
Yeah, we do work for the same company. I'm a video journalist, and I love you. I sent you a care package. You're my favorite host and everything.
Thank you, Andrew.
I want to say last segment you were talking about the black community. Even though I'm white, I come from South Orange, 50 feet away from Newark. So that's one of my most passionate issues.
Okay, well, Andrew, a passionate issue for you. I'll let you make your comment. Explain to me what is going on in Paterson, New Jersey. Now, I grew up in the Bronx and Harlem, but I got to tell you, on assignment in Paterson about a month ago, I didn't know if I should get out of my car.
I've been there many times after shooting. The thing is, fathers, we need to break government dependency and have fathers in the homes. I was appalled when I heard Michelle Obama went to Newark and didn't tell the girls, don't have your baby until after you're out of college, until you're married. She's with 80% of girls, black girls, that were born out of wedlock. I went to my brother's keeper. The man speaking goes, 80% of you are from broken homes. You live with your aunt or grandma. But the next sentence, he should have said, you have to break the cycle. So what I want to do is have an outreach to break that cycle. When I'm in Paterson, it's always a girl. A girl got shot accidentally and skinned their head when she was watching TV. There's never a father in the home, almost. So really, that has to be the priority. We need to switch, because I grew up in a middle-class black area in South Orange. And
Andrew, we're discussing Trump this half hour, but I have to tell you, I'm with you 1,000%, because you are telling my life story. My life story of being raised by a grandmother and an aunt in the hood in New York City, no father, met my father twice, and grew up on public assistance. And here's you said that you're white.
Yeah.
Until we start telling the truth about this issue, and I don't know where black leaders are on this, but we push this under the rug. My own wife doesn't like for me to discuss these issues on the radio. When we arrived in Baltimore, I wanted to cry at the dysfunction that exists solely in the black community. We will continue on Trump right after the news.
You really think you're in control?
Thirty-eight minutes past the hour. Gnarls Barkley, the artist there. One person that's not crazy, trust me, friends, when I tell you this, it's Donald Trump. I've known the man about 20 years, covered him, know him on a personal level. One of the nicest guys, just neither here nor there, on a personal level, one-on-one contact, one of the nicest guys you could ever come in contact with. We are discussing Donald Trump. And, you know, something and his presidential run. Sleep on him if you want to. It's a mistake to do so. As a TV political reporter for the last 25 to 28 years, I predicted in the city of New York, Bloomberg would be elected the mayor of New York after the fiasco on the Democratic side between Fernando Ferrer and Mark Green. And folks thought I was crazy. Well, guess what? Bloomberg was elected repeatedly and did win in the city of New York. I am now telling you exactly the same thing as it relates to Trump. Now, he may not win the Republican nomination. He may not win the presidency. All I'm saying to you at this point is that he is a major factor. Don't sleep on him. And whatever you do, don't listen to those idiot political reporters, half of them that don't know what they're talking about on television, the so-called experts, the pundits. Let's bring in Laura from Harlem. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Dominique. First of all, we all know, or we should know, that Donald Trump is not crazy. He's entertaining, but he's not crazy. He's brilliant in terms of business and real estate developer, etc. Someone said something about a racist. He is not a blatant racist. He is, however, and this is where it becomes confusing with people. This is a discussion that needs to go on, is people with biases, all right? Donald Trump is extremely biased when it comes to people of color. We can be biased and not even be conscious of it.
Laura, why do you say that? Why do you feel that way?
Thank you. The reason why I say that, number one, what was said about the Mexicans, all right? Number two, go back to 1989 when he took out the ad, the Central Park jogger, and when he went after those Hispanic and black kids. He took out a full-page ad, okay, in our three main newspapers, and he demanded the execution of these kids before they were indicted. Now, let's get through all of that. We know exonerated. Help me here. When they were exonerated, okay, it was asked, and they were exonerated, remember, because of DNA, not because someone came out and said that they were guilty. When Trump was asked, would he apologize, he said no, and if it's a lie, he told it. And the reason given was that these kids still are not angels. What I'm saying here, Dominique, is this. Even if they're not angels, and remember, they were teens at the time, what could they have done would warrant the death penalty? And he didn't apologize for that. So that shows me that's a little biased there. I mean,
okay,
you know.
But before I move on, you're supporting him overall, or am I putting words in your mouth?
Am I supporting him? I'll be very honest with you. When I first, Donald Trump, I think that he can, in terms of business, I think that he really can do wonders, and I understand why he's promoted and people are supportive of him. I honestly do understand that. I'm just a little nervous in terms of his temperament, you know, et cetera. And as you say, he may not make it there, but he's entertaining to me. I don't hate him, that's for sure. Thank you for accepting.
Thank you, Laura. Max is from the Dominican Republic. Max, what do you think about Trump?
Oh, hi, Dominic. What I think is this, you know, Trump is a good person, you know, he might be. And I'm not mad, you know, because he said, you know, stuff, you know, about Mexican or, you know, Hispanic or anything. To me, because they have people, you know, bad people from every race. You know, what I can forgive him is, you know, what he did to Obama, my president. He spent almost a year trying to prove that Obama was not an American citizen, that he wasn't born here. I would never forgive him. And you might have some black people, you know, friends of yours who think, you know, that Trump is a very nice person. They're going to vote for him. But I do have a lot of black people and Hispanic people. They don't hate Trump, but they will never forgive, you know, what he did. He spent a lot of time, you know, trying to play, you know, this game about, you know, race car. Remember, we're never going to forget about it.
Max, do you agree with me? I heard you on your issue. Do you agree with me that it is conceivable, that it is more than conceivable, that Trump could actually get a sizable portion of the Latino vote?
No. You know why? Let me tell you. You know, he's not going to get it. You know why? It's just give him 3-4 weeks, and you'll see when the Trump is going to just fall down. You know, it's just a walk ahead out there, you know, that supporting him. If you see at the age, you know, the people that are supporting him at the age from 50 on up, you know, young people are not going to vote for him. Believe me, they're not, because I know, I got a lot of friends. They're not going to vote for him.
But his comment about Mexicans does not bother you as strong as it's impacting others.
No. A lot of people don't, you know, they know, you know, that he has some truth, you know, in the stuff that he say. You know, I understand. But there's bad people, you know, from every kind of race, you know. It's not that. It's just that he played like a joke, you know, before. He's not a serious candidate. That's what it is.
Thank you, Max. Let's go to Steve in Belmore. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. I got a couple of things to say about Trump. One, my wife was in mortgages and real estate and met him many times. And he's a braggart. He exaggerates. One example, just recently, he actually released his financial statement, which says he's worth $1.something billion, not $9 billion. Another thing.
No, Steve, your information is wrong. What he did on his filings is that they're categories. And if you recall accurately, Trump said that the disclosure forms is not really for a billionaire like him because it doesn't necessarily nail in to what his estimate is. On the form, it ranges from $1.5 billion plus, but he's standing by his claim of $10 billion. Go right ahead, Steve. Right.
But my personal experience and my wife's experience is he exaggerates everything.
Tell me, Steve, one presidential candidate that does not exaggerate.
I'm talking about Trump now. I don't want to get sidelined with other candidates.
So you want to hold him accountable more than others because he exaggerates. Is there another reason why you don't like him? It sounds like you're not a fan.
Gushing is Trump. I'll tell you something else. My son is a federal agent. We've had long discussions about immigration, and he's very closely associated with it. There are virtually no Mexicans coming across the southern border. Most of the people coming across that border that get in are Salvadorian and Guatemalan, and for reasons that it's very unsafe in those countries. Another point about that is most Mexicans are going back to Mexico because all the factories that ran to China are now running to Mexico because they can get cheaper labor there now.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Let's go to Queens and Hector. Good morning, Hector. You're on WABC.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm fantastic, filling in for my man, Geraldo Rivera.
Yeah, I'm very glad that you're putting out this program. You're giving opportunity to people from all different backgrounds to give your opinion, and, you know, I know that something positive comes out of it. What I would like to say is, you know, is that when it comes to Donald Trump, the media have made this a very, very important issue in a negative way. I come from the Dominican Republic, and I know many, many Latinos that live here. And we live here because we cannot live in what is left of our countries that are ruled by corrupt politicians, drug lords, and criminals. Your kids cannot go out of the house. I cannot even visit my country and go to the places I used to go. So Donald Trump is fighting so what happened in our country would not happen here. And I commend him for that because this is the only place where I could send my kids to go to school and I'm not worried if they're going to return back or not. That my wife could go out for the movie to the theater to work, and I'm not worried if she's going to be back. But in all of the country that we have, and you know what? I know a lot of Dominicans. At the beginning, they used to hate Trump. But when they see that he's trying to save this, so we have a place where to live, and to keep the criminals out, we applaud it for that.
Hector, my contention, Trump will, if he stays in the contest long enough, will receive a portion of the Latino vote. I don't know what amount, but as a political reporter, I am telling you this guy will connect with Latinos. Am I wrong or am I accurate?
You are 100% right. When the Latinos find out what he's really true about it, and you know what? And he start creating thousands of jobs, like he already have thousands of Latinos employed. And you know what? He may come out with anything that could surprise everybody. What about if he said, you know what, I'm a president. I will legalize all the Latinos that are here legally. I will give them paperwork to work, and I will ship back all of the criminals. You know what? All of the Latinos will be running after him. Because you know what? At the end of it, all we want is a job, and we want a place where we live comfortable. So you know what? We are just in the primary. Wait until he gets to the end of it, and people think he's going to go away. I've been following Donald Trump for the past 30 years. I'm a real estate broker.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Hector, for the call. One thing we certainly agree on, the best social program ever, you've heard this over and over and time again, is called J-O-B-S, a job. 11:56 on this Friday morning. Good morning to you. I'm Dominic Carter. Hey, look at that. Look who just walked in.
Look at you, man.
Ron Kuby.
Hey, how's this working?
My
there,
man.
There
my
look,
man.
Look at you.
What, Ron.
The big person's chair in the studio, too, flying solo, man, without any protection at all. Congratulations. This is great. I've been trying to get an African-American person hired here really for like 20 years. Now, Curtis has always suggested that if I really care that much, I could offer one of you people my job. So I don't care that much. But I'm happy to see you taking Geraldo's place. So how are you, man?
I'm great, man. Thank you. I'm here because of you, you know? So, I mean, I thank you, Ron.
I'm not sure that's true.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But, I mean, I worked hard at it, but I don't get much say in anything besides what comes out of my own mouth. I've always advocated
for it. But
you
do an outstanding job. And, Ron, I want to say to you that when I do fill in for you, you are so good at this, I refer to myself as your mini-me. Ron Kuby's mini-me.
That is so sweet, Dominic. What do you make of the Louisiana shooting? It's apparently like white people don't care if they get killed by somebody who's not black or who's not a Muslim. It's like, okay, nothing to see here. Just another white guy with 40 caliber in a movie theater. Jeez, it's not like it's ISIS or something.
Have a great show.
Hey, thanks.